it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cook you a turducken. Oh, there it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
NFL Lunch here on this Toted Up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Before we get back to John Harbaugh, let's talk about some of the quarterback injuries going on in the National Football League. We know about Joe Burrow out 3 months with the turf toe in Cincinnati, but J.J. McCarthy ankle out 2 to 4 weeks for the Minnesota Vikings. Carson Wentz, come on down. Remember when he was the number two pick in the draft behind Jared Goff and was a guy that was well on his way to winning the MVP in 17, got hurt late, Eagles won the Super Bowl, and his career has been haywire ever since.
Yeah, that one's kind of a shot. Bob, he'll probably O'Connell, he'll probably play good for him. Who knows? You know, it's going to be interesting to watch. And McCarthy, because JJ's been struggling. I mean, he had one good quarter of 8. So him being out may be not a bad thing for right now for the Vikings.
Jaden Daniels, Washington, sprained his knee against Green Bay last Thursday night. His availability looks pretty sketchy for Washington coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and Bob, the thing about it is, if he can't move around that well, if he's hindered that way, better off not playing him, because that's a big part of his game, you know, is the ability to move around in the pocket.
And they lost Austin Eckler for the season last week, too. Yeah. Washington did with the Achilles. And with the Jets, Justin Fields, who had been playing well, concussion. Looks like his status is uncertain as well, perhaps heading into this weekend.
Yeah, normally guys with concussions miss the next week. And Fields didn't play great against Buffalo.
All right. Let's get to John Harbaugh, NFL Lunch here. Here's Harbaugh. Met with the media yesterday, talked about Trenton Simpson, a subject we brought up. Hey, can he play defensive end if need be?
It's just nuance because Kyle Van Noy plays Sam in the base defense. But he also plays defensive end in the sub defense. You know, he's not playing off the ball in the sub defense. Could Trent play defensive end in the edge? Probably not right now. You know, it's not something that body type wise we'd be looking at doing at this time. But he can play Sam, sure, in the base.
Yeah. So in the base defense, where he's just lined up outside with the two inside linebackers to play out there and rush the passer. You know, will we see that? I'm guessing we'll see a Ajabo before we see Trenton Simpson out there rushing the passer.
How do they develop a role for him, though?
Special teams.
And that's it? Not what they envisioned.
No,
they expected him to be the entrenched starter. Not, hey, you're the starter for now until, you know, you're a game into the season and you're already benched for a rookie.
Yeah. Bob, if he's out there, like the role that he has, if he's out there, probably in pass coverage stuff, and then if it's anything close to the line of scrimmage, blitz him. Blitz him. Take all thinking out.
Getting to the offense, John Harbaugh. Ravens have scored 41 points the first two games. One of them ended in a loss, as we've talked about multiple times, but they made some big plays. So here's Harbaugh talking about the explosive plays in the pass game.
Yeah, the chunk throws have been good. You know, we had 6 explosive passes, which was good, solid. It's not we've had more, but it probably fit 60 percentile or something like that in the NFL in a game. But that's been big. You know, we're hitting a lot of, you know, people are playing man against us, and we've taken advantage of that. You know, you saw Zay have a bunch of plays in this last game, also hop, but Bate, you know, Bate came up early in the game, made some plays for us and got us going. So, yeah, the chunk passing game has been good.
Yeah, big thing with the chunk passing game, a lot of times is the yak, you know, making somebody miss. Because I call chunk play any play over 20 yards. So, you know, the yak stuff is a big part of it, especially in man coverage. Because in man coverage, you beat one guy, you got a chance to make big play.
As Teddy Buchanan steps in for Trenton Simpson, John Harbaugh was asked if he'll continue to get more snaps over the third-year Clemson product.
I think we'll just kind of keep going week to week and day to day. I mean, you just never know what direction it's going to go. But, you know, when guys play well, they continue to play. And, you know, there's nobody not playing well. So, you know, if there's someone that we need to, you know, take out, we would. But that's kind of just how it works.
Well, all I know, Bob, is his first game, Buchanan, like, had 39 snaps, Simpson 36. Now it's 60-15. So, I mean, that kind of tells the whole story.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Harbs never knocks a guy. You know, so, I mean, that's the most polite way for him to say it.
So, as Teddy Buchanan's going to get more of the timeshare.
Oh, no doubt.
What does he need to do to make sure that this is going to be the prudent move for this defense moving forward? Are we asking a lot for a rookie going into his third game of his career?
Yeah, he's an older kid, too. The biggest thing, Bob, with the short arms and the missed tackles, you know, that's what causes him some issues is missed tackles. But he is super smart, is what he is, and he's got instincts. So that gives him a much better chance than Simpson does, and And, Bob, he had 26 snaps on the special teams, too. So he had a full workload.
It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch, turning up Tuesday. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Patrick Ricard has missed. He hasn't practiced in a month, basically. Hadn't played first 2 weeks. So what's going on there, Harbs?
It's hard to put a term on it like that. And I think it's a good, fair question. Because, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what you want to call it, but it hasn't been as quick as we thought. You know, it just hasn't been. I mean, there's no way around it. I'm disappointed, but Pat's more disappointed than anybody that hasn't gotten there faster than as what was expected when he first did it. So, yeah, it's been slower than we hoped, that's for sure. And we're kind of in that, I'd say, probably week-to-week mode with Pat right now.
Well, that sounds like, Bob, that they probably should have put him on IR before the season started, if it's still week to week. I mean, he's not going to be back for week 3, which is Monday night, and doesn't look like he's going to be back for Kansas City. So, Payton, just get consistent, man. Catch the football and don't be jumping off sides. If you make one mistake, don't make another one right after that.
Yeah, listen to Harbs. It's like a door song. Break on through to the other side, day to day, week to week, hour to hour, break on through to the other side. Jair Alexander, he didn't play Sunday, so John, why?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I wish it was really black and white, but I think he'll be out there soon. You know, it could be as early as this week. But it's going to be when he feels and you can see that he's right, you know, to go out there and just play like a top level Jair. I don't want to put him in a situation where he's got to try to overcome not quite being, you know, right as he can be, especially if we've got guys that can play well, you know. So that's just kind of like almost a great problem to have, that you don't have to force a player out there.
And, you know, well, now with Humphrey probably being out, maybe that may require it. The problem, Bob, you know, what Harbs, you know, was talking about is game shape. You know, he needs to get in game shape, football shape. And if you're babying your knee, how do you get in real good football shape? I mean, it's kind of a tough situation for the kid. You know, and having an extra day this week, you know, should help him. And maybe he plays more. But TJ Tampa, I thought, played well
right in
that game.
And they're going to have their hands full with that Detroit passing game. For sure, but getting outside of the Ravens, a former Raven, Jadeveon Clowney, signed with Dallas, and it looks like he's going to plug and play against the Bears coming up this weekend.
Yeah, well, they had no pass rush, you know. So
neither the Ravens.
Yeah, so it was interesting because I'm guessing that the Ravens didn't call or whatever, So, Clowney, I like, you know, I never thought Clowney was like a elite rusher. Thought he was a real good run player. So when the Ravens got him, I thought, yeah, I play good against the run. But he definitely surprised me when he was with the Ravens. He was a hell of a rusher.
Yeah, integral part of that defense, which was respected back in 2023. When we come back, we're not trying to disrespect anybody, but it's the Feeble Five. Who are the five worst teams in the National Football League through the first 2 weeks of the season? We give you the schedule for week three as well. And then we're going to talk some college football. Bill Bender from the Sporting News. You got Notre Dame at 0-2. Clemson has two losses. All sorts of zaniness are going out there. Vitek and UCLA have already fired their head coaches. Maryland's undefeated going to Wisconsin. Speaking of coaches on the hot seat, say Maryland goes there and wins as 9.5-point dogs. What does this mean for Luke Fickell's long-term future there with the Badgers?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five. A handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing. 105.7 The Fan.
Earlier in the show, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Vinny gave you his dirty dozen for the first 2 weeks of the season, which ended last night with Tampa and the Chargers winning on Monday Night Football, led by the Philadelphia Eagles. And rightfully so, with the Bills coming in second. For sure. Now we get into the opposite end of the spectrum, the five worst teams in the NFL, otherwise known as the Feeble Five.
All right, going back to week two, one was Miami, two New Orleans, three Carolina, four the Giants, five Tennessee. All right, coming in at number five, 0-2 Tennessee.
You suck.
They lost to San Fran 26-21. They're hosting Indianapolis. Now, Cam Ward threw for 175 and a touchdown, but, Bob, five sacks. Got sacked five times. That O-line stinks.
Yeah. They played, the Rams on Sunday.
Oh. And Pollard had 92 yards.
Yeah, he's rushing. Been sacked 11 times through two games.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Ravens need to play them. All right, coming in at number four, 0-2 New Orleans.
You suck.
They lost to San Fran 26-21. They're at Seattle. Now, Alvin Kamara, for as old as he is, Bob, 99 yards. Rattler, 25 of 34, 207 and three touchdowns. So, I mean, he was okay, you know, in that game. They just don't have a lot of talent.
Yeah, they hung around. Kellen Moore, you know, he's going to get what he can out of the QB. Yeah. But defensively, they did give up three touchdowns to Mac Jones.
Yes.
Who played well.
Yep.
Gave his credit.
All right, coming in at three. We've talked about him a lot so far today. 0-2 Chicago.
You suck.
They lost to Detroit 52-21. The Chicago's hosting Dallas. Now, Adunzie, he had 128 yards receiving, so he was good. Swift rushed 12 times for 63 and a touchdown. And Caleb Williams, 19 of 30 for 207 with two touchdowns and a pick. You know, their defense is bad.
Yeah, they got shredded in the fourth quarter by J.J. McCarthy in the first week. Yep. And Detroit was all over them pretty much from the start of that game.
No doubt. All right, coming in at 2-0-2 Carolina.
You suck.
They lost at Arizona 27-22. And that was a hard game to watch because, Bob, I'm watching Red Zone, and the other two games were good, you know, and they would go back to put the scoring plays on at Carolina. I said, get that crap off the TV.
Turned out to be a good game.
It did. Bryce Young, he ended up throwing for 328. I mean, what do you have, a pick and a fumble the first two series? You know, and McMillan had 100 yards receiving.
Yeah,
so,
the rookie. Yeah,
yeah, so he's going to be okay, but they're just not very good, you know. And Bryce Young, Bob, that dude's probably 5'9", you know, about a 180. And then coming in at number one, 0-2 Miami.
You suck.
They lost to New England 33-27. I mean, they take a lead. They get a punt return late in the fourth. Punt return, I don't know, 60, 70 yards. Goes back, they take the lead. Then they kick off after that, and then New England runs it back for a touchdown. You got to be kidding me, right? They're at Buffalo Thursday night. Tua threw for 315. Tyreek had 109. But I do believe this. I believe if they lose big to Buffalo, which they could, Mike McDaniel gets fired on Friday.
Yeah, they were down 14-0. Came back, as you said, took the lead, and then found a way to lose. Couldn't crack through in the end. But the Dolphins, a team that looked like a rising power just a couple of years ago, are now descending into where the coach could be out of a job by the time they hit their bye. Yeah.
When you have team meetings after week one, and Bob, their defense is ranked like 32nd and stuff, so they're just not a good team right now. So in summary, Miami 1-2 Carolina, 3 Chicago, 4 New Orleans, 5 Tennessee.
Here's your schedule for week 3 of the National Football League season of 2025. Any brought up Dolphins and Bills, 8:15 Thursday, Buffalo. 11.5-point favorites at home. Sunday's matchups, Green Bay is at Cleveland. Packers, 7.5-point favorites there. The Colts are at Tennessee. Indy, 3.5-point favorites. Cincinnati's at Minnesota. It's going to be a battle of backup quarterbacks in Minnesota. Vikings, 2.5-point favorites in that one. If Cincinnati can steal a win on the road, keep your head above water. Who knows? Pittsburgh, they're at New England taking on the Patriots. Steelers are 1.5-point favorites in this ballgame. Rams at Eagles, battle of undefeated teams, rematch of last year's divisional playoff game. Philly laying 3.5 against L.A. What about the backlash now for the tush push? Dean Blandino on Sundays, like, because they're offsides, there's false starts galore. They're pretty much every time they do it, there should be a flag thrown and Hurts fumble, but they called him down. I think the tush push, we're going to see the end of it after the 2025 season.
I agree. And Bob, what do you think in this game with the Rams? You think we see some flags in the tush push? I'll bet you we do.
We might. But either way, that's going to be an interesting game, 1 o'clock. Same with the Jets at Tampa. Bucks win last night. They're 6.5-point favorites over New York. As we said, Justin Fields, status to be determined. Raiders at Washington. Jaden Daniels might not go. Washington, 3.5-point favorites over Las Vegas, who got spanked last night at home. Atlanta's at Carolina. How about Atlanta laying 5.5 in a very winnable game in the division, which you want to get. Houston's at Jacksonville. Big game for both teams. Jacksonville should have beat Cincinnati. Didn't. Houston's 0-2. It is what it is. Jacksonville, 1.5-point favorites in that one.
Yeah, I like that game. I think it's going to be that game. If Houston loses, Bob, then they're kind of dropped down.
Yeah,
big time.
0-3 is a real deep hole usually to dig out of there. These are all 4 o'clock games or later. Denver's at the Chargers. Chargers minus 2.5. Denver, they took a tough L at Indianapolis this past Sunday, but it is a divisional game, and you know, we'll see what Peyton has in store, but Chargers look really, really good, even though Khalil Mack's status is doubtful, to say the least.
What do you think, Bob? That would be a big, big win for Denver if they can win that one, because otherwise Chargers are 4-0 then.
Well, 3-0.
Yeah.
But if they win,
and Denver would be 1-2.
Yeah, so if they win, it's 2-1. Then, you know, now we have some things to look forward to, perhaps, instead of the Chargers maybe pulling away a little bit in the first few weeks of the season. Saints are at Seattle. Seattle minus 7.5, coming off the win against the Steelers. Dallas at Chicago, as we talked about. Bears, 1.5-point favorites.
Really?
Yeah. The Bears, 1.5-point favorites over the Cowboys. Cardinals at 49ers, 2-2-0 teams. San Francisco laying 1.5 in this NFC West tussle. Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs, speaking of them, they're at the Giants. Kansas City minus 1.5. Both teams looking for their first win of the season.
Yeah, I'll bet you NBC was happy that Russell had that big game. Otherwise, you know, you got 0-2 at 0-2. You don't have a. They're hoping Taylor Swift shows up.
Lions are at the Ravens Monday Night Football, 8:15. Spread was 5.5 this morning as I was looking at the old scores. But 4.5, so it's dropped a point. That is your schedule for week 3 of the National Football League season. When we come back, week 4 of the college football season, Bill Bender, Sporting News, will talk about the winless team that's Notre Dame, the 1-2 team that's Clemson, and which one of these early undefeateds has staying power, and what does Maryland's win at Wisconsin, if they get it, do for Luke Fickell out there in Madison?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Sporting News, let's welcome back to the program our friend and yours, Bill Bender. Bill, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in Baltimore again.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, week 4 already. It's crazy.
It's insane. If you count week 0, it's 5 for a couple of teams. But Maryland's 3-0, went through that home slate, which was very favorable, and blew out every team that they played, and that was expected. Now you go to Wisconsin, first Big Ten game. Wisconsin, they're 2-1. They lost at Alabama. Things did not end well for the Badgers in 2024. If Maryland could say go in there as 9.5-point dogs and pull the upset based on the spread, well, it certainly gets them to 4-0. But what does this do for the seat of Luke Fickell that already appears to be a little on the warm side right now?
It's warm, and I don't know. You there. I mean, Wisconsin's one of these schools in this very large Big Ten that's struggling to figure it out, you know, where they fit in the tiers. I would argue Maryland's trying to push up, you know, it's a great start. Washington looks good. A chance to, I mean, I'm not even looking at the spread. They're fully capable of winning that football game. So what happened at UCLA kind of magnifies my point. Is it smart to fire a coach after 3 games? Is that how we're going to do things now? I mean, it's always been done, but I don't know if that's the right move for UCLA. You want to try talk about a program trying to figure it out in the new Big Ten. Look at how many empty seats they have.
Let's talk about some of these 3-0 teams that might be real, might be somewhat on the, hey, let's not buy into them just yet category. And two that come to mind are Texas Tech and Georgia Tech. Of those two right now, Bill, who would you say has a little staying power and maybe SMU's their way into the playoffs this year?
The team in SMU's conference. Georgia Tech's going to be favored in every game from here till Georgia. And we know how they played Georgia tough last year. Haynes King is as tough a player as there is in college football. I don't think anybody means more to their team than he does. And they've just taken a cue from Brent Key. To your point, though, they got to do it every week now. They got to handle the attention. Some programs, it works. Like, for example, Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech are both 20-plus point favorites this week. Do they go out and take care of business, or does Vanderbilt go out and lose to Georgia State again, which they did last year? That's what I watch. The other program. Sorry for the tangent I went on. I have the two. I like Georgia.
Texas Tech.
Find out this week, right? Like, play Utah on the road. Super intriguing matchup to me because I think the Big 12 is a one-bid league. I think there's a chance those two teams play each other twice. I do like Baron Morton at Texas Tech. And I do like Devin Dampier at Utah. Two contrasting styles. These two programs have played since the 30s. It's going to be a really good game.
Hey, Bill, when I watch Penn State, you think Drew Aller and their receivers are good enough for them to get where they want to get to?
Well, next week, I would argue.
Oregon.
I mean, it's huge. And it's a game for Penn State. You know, Oregon won the Big Ten in year one. And Oregon, you know, they've gone into Michigan and won. And they've beat Ohio State head-to-head twice in the last 5 years. This is, show us what you got. Penn State's non-league schedule is obviously light. They are loaded. their defense is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think Drew Aller and those running backs, both of them, Ketron Allen, Nick Singleton, this is that show me moment. Because think of the repercussions if Oregon goes in there, wide out, just wins the game. What, who's going to feel that heat? It will be Penn State.
Now, Bill, does either Clemson or Notre Dame have a shot at the playoffs?
I think Clemson does. You know, I'm wondering how much that LSU game took out of them. It was a physical game. They lost. They didn't play well. They really haven't played well this season. They were down 16-0 to Troy. There's a lot of talent there, but they have the benefit of being in a conference where it's one conference loss. They go 7-1 in conference play. Theoretically, they would have a shot at playing in the ACC championship, even if they lose to South Carolina. They made the playoff with three losses last year, so they could absolutely do it again. Notre Dame doesn't have the benefit of a conference championship game. Notre Dame doesn't have the benefit of a really strong schedule here down the stretch. They do play USC. I guess I could say, I never say never. Notre Dame would lose a third game. They'd obviously be done, but Clemson has a better chance to get in the mix.
Bill Bender joining us from the Sporting News. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talk college football heading into week four of this season. Another of these ranked team matchups coming up, you know, Auburn, I guess. Somewhat surprising based on their recent history, ranked and undefeated. But they're taking on the Sooners. Boomer Sooner here. Mateer, he is really tearing it up. Are you a Mateer and Sooner believer? Or do the War Eagles go in there and do a little crazy stuff here?
Jackson Arnold Bowl should be fun, right? he gets to play against his old team. Do they protect him enough in this game? That's something to watch. And I think on the other side, John Mateer's played very well. He's thrown a couple interceptions. Auburn won this game last year with their pressure and their defense, and Oklahoma has a really good defense. So this is going to be a tight, entertaining game. As much as I said that I liked Tech and Utah, I think this one is going to be just as good. I mean, our ranked matchups this week are a little off the radar, but they're also very good matchups.
Now, in the Big Ten, who do you believe in more, Indiana or Illinois?
That's the best match. Who knew that we were going to say Indiana and Illinois is going to be the best matchup of the week?
Right.
And Indiana averages 300 rushing yards a game, and Illinois's got a top elite defense around Gabe Jockus. The coaches will probably – there are two of the more animated coaches in the game. I like Illinois to win. I don't love my pick, but I think they're good enough to cover. I like Luke Altmyer, the experience he brings. I was so impressed with how they went down to Duke and took care of business in that game.
Bill Bender, last thing for you. A lot of hubbub about Arch Manning coming into the season. May not be living up to it at this point in time. Your assessment of his play and what needs to happen. I mean, they have Sam Houston coming up and then Florida and then Oklahoma. And the things obviously get a little more interesting. But Arch Manning, assess his play through the first three games of 25.
So I look at Pro Football Focus. It's not the end-all be-all, obviously. But the stat that stands out to me is he's 7 of 21 on passes of 10 to 19 yards. So, like, we knew into the season he could throw the deep ball. We knew into the season he was mobile. And that I don't really hold the Ohio State game against them. The Buckeyes have the best defense in the country. They're going to make a lot of teams look bad. Last week was a little eye-opening. Like, why can't you guys stomp on UTEP here a little bit? And I think he needs to develop there. I've kind of maintained all along that we're probably not going to see the best of Arch Manning until next season, which I do believe he'll come back and play in college. And it's a learning curve. He does need to be more accurate in that range, and that comes with snaps. And I would be stunned if they didn't come out and take care of business against Sam Houston. I don't think he's hurt, by the way, because player guy if he was hurt against those schools.
Hey, Bill, how about Vandy? That's an awesome story. It started last year, you know, when they beat Alabama. Now they go to South Carolina and wear them out 31-7. How good can they be this year?
Very good. Diego Pavia is a great story. He's fun. He's starting to gain some popularity. They'll become – here's my prediction. If they keep winning up into this Alabama rematch, they haven't beat Alabama – back-to-back season since like the 1950s, and it was right before Bear Bryant came to Alabama, that become America's team, in quotes. We know who America's team in the NFL is, but I'm not even a Cowboys fan, but you get what I'm going at. Mm-hmm. They will generate a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, because they'd be one of those stories that we get to tell in the 12-team era. I mean, imagine it. Vandy, the longtime doormat of the SEC, making the CFP in week two.
Bill Bender, Sporting News. Bill, always appreciate your time and insight. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday and enjoy week four of the college football season with plenty of drama left to come here.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, we'll check in again soon, guys. Thanks for having me. Take care.
There's Bill Bender, everybody. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse with Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2, followed by Baltimore baseball tonight. Dean Kramer back on the hill as the Orioles look to make it 2 in a row against the White Sox. Usually we get a little audio coming out of one winning drive, and we will tomorrow, but just not from John Harbaugh, Lamar, and, you know, some of the other star players.
Yeah, it's it's nice having the Monday night game, but then after the Monday night game, then it's not nice because, you know, you got the short week. Then they got short week going to Kansas City also.
And no John Harbaugh weekly press conference next week either.
No, he'll just talk on Wednesday. Just because, Bob, when they get, well, they'll work some. The coaches will work some probably on Sunday and stuff on Kansas City. But then come after the game, when the game's over, they're going straight to the office. The coaches, you know, hopefully they beat Detroit. You know, and you go, you get, you watch your film, grade your film, have that done. Then you got to be on to Kansas City.
Orioles trying to win the series tonight against the White Sox there. And then they're back home this Thursday, Friday. We're at Pickles Pub for the final four shows for us of the year downtown Baltimore. It's 7 games against New York in the final 2 weeks of the season. So, yeah, maybe they can ensure that Toronto will get that AL East because they sure as hell didn't put up any resistance against the Blue Jays this last weekend. Terps against Wisconsin. We got a couple more days to talk about that. And let's see if Maryland can pull that upset as 9.5-point dogs out there. And with a win, puts them 2 wins away from bowl eligibility.
I think Malik's got to have a really big game, Bob. And for a freshman, first game on the road in kind of a hostile environment, that's going to be a tough one for him. But, you know, the way that he's matured and the way that he can play calm, cool, collective, if he can handle that, that would be big for them.
Yeah, first real test for the Terps in their first road game of the season as well. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people here on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Well, yeah, there's only so many opportunities for the Terps to actually have a chance or a legit chance in these games. Beyond Wisconsin, what else is left, really? I mean, Rutgers, that's about it. I mean, so there's your two games if you're looking for bowl eligibility. You don't mess up.
Well, you're not putting that Washington game down as a win?
Well, I'll say this. You can go ahead and take the Illinois, the Indiana's, the Michigan, even Michigan State off the board. Just get those immediately out of there. Those are losses.
UCLA.
UCLA.
At UCLA. Come on.
No, they'll win that one. That's, you know, and they got a chance at Michigan State, too. Right.
We'll see. Okay. I don't know. We do this every year.
Yeah, I know. And by the time they get to Michigan State, Michigan State is 3-0 right now.
Yeah, but they play Puffy Panthers.
So have the Terps. And anyway, got plenty of time to get into that. Just take care of Wisconsin. If we're here on Monday and they've lost by 35, we're having a whole different conversation about what the tone of the season could be here. Because it's here we go again.
Yeah.
Conference play started on the road, and they didn't show up to the game. You ready to go to that fun house? I don't want to add on a bad.
Quick Draws Fun House.
Fun.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this texter here. Orioles related. Says, give Mancelino the full-time job at this point. There's far bigger issues and needs for this team to address in the offseason. I think you could do a lot worse than him, and the players have a trust level in him right now.
I don't have anything against Tony Mancelino. He's been very good in the pre- and post-game press conferences. I just don't see it happening.
I mean,
they would have made a run towards possible playoffs, then maybe he gets more of a fair chance, air quotes. And he'll get an interview, I'm sure, and he'll have the backing of the players. I just think the new manager of the Orioles is somebody that might not even be wearing a uniform right now.
Over to the Ravens, Howard in Baltimore says, it seems like the drop by Andrews in the end zone got lost in the blowout. Very concerned about him. They're not even really targeting him much to begin with, just four through two games. Very disappointing to see that issue from the playoffs come back here in 25.
I wouldn't say the one in the end zone was a drop. I think that was a good play by Delpit, you know, in the end zone. He had the ball in his hands. And I think a lot of the routes right now, with the last game, and I mentioned it earlier, man-to-man coverage, you know, and you got to be able to separate and get open, because if Lamar's looking, you know, he's probably seeing a guy with him, and then he's coming off to somebody else rather quickly.
This texter here says, why couldn't the Ravens defense perform like that against Buffalo, talking about the turnaround against Cleveland? Does the performance speak to the different talent level between Buffalo and Cleveland, or does it speak to a mind-boggling inconsistency by the Ravens coaching staff?
I think you make a lot of progress from week one to week two, you know, and you learn, you know, a lot of things that you know, it's your first game playing and everything, so you learn a lot about a lot of guys. And, you know, I think what they learned was the tempo and intensity and stuff that they showed up to play with wasn't what it needed to be.
And last text of the day is about Tom Brady, all this drama going on with him in the Fox booth, the connections to the Raiders. Texter says, the Brady stuff, more funny than anything. If this was anyone else, would the NFL be condoning it and allowing him to live in both worlds? He's a terrible commentary voice on TV anyway, but will be forced in front of us every week because he's Tom Brady.
And that's a fact. You know, is he great? I mean, I don't, you know, particularly mind. I don't like, I'm not in love with it. You know, he's not Madden and Summerall, I guarantee you that.
He's not as good as Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
That was the egregious part. Him getting the boot.
Yeah. The big thing is that it is a conflict of interest, you know, and they say he did nothing wrong by sitting up there in a booth. But if you're getting ready to play his team, you know, and he's coming in and talking to your player, if I was GM of a team and Tom Brady was coming in and then the Raiders, we had to play the Raiders the following week, I'm not too crazy. Like, I'm telling, listen, he's not coming to practice.
Yeah, and he had the headphones on too?
Yeah.
Right. That was awesome. And what was up with the video camera? In a deflated football. Anyway, it's Tom Brady. That's what makes him such an awesome guy. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes, followed by Baltimore Baseball Today, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. We're back tomorrow for Woman Crush Wednesday. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.